AOPA's Baker says value for members is paramount. Will ATC be privatized? And the Airbus A330-300 sheds pounds. This is Aero News for Thursday, September 26, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Mark Baker, the newly appointed head of AOPA, says that his first order of business is to be sure that everything the organization does is perceived by the members as adding value to their membership. In an interview with ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell Wednesday, Baker says that he is currently doing a quote-unquote deep dive into the organization, but he knows that it is important for the membership to see the organization as having value in preserving their, again, quoting, freedom to fly. Baker admitted some changes may be needed, saying, quote, maybe we need to do some adjustment to our primary reason to exist, which is advocacy, legal services, and pilot centers, end quote. But he also asked for patience while he gets settled into the new position. As for how AOPA can address the downturn in the pilot population, Baker had this to say.
Well, I think, you know, as I again review everything that we do here and to make sure that it's kind of on the mission and that we can, with the resources that we have, and everybody has somewhat limited resources, make a difference. And to make sure that those resources are lined up with making the differences that members want first, and that, you know, I think it all starts with a really fun airport experience if you're going to have either new people or people re-engage in the in this great thing we call general aviation. It's got to start with a good airport experience. And I don't think, you know, call it AOPA or any organization can go it alone with growing the pilot population. I think we have to work as an industry arm in arm to think about what that engagement level is and how we make a positive impression when people have a choice of discretionary time or dollars. And that this this activity has got a access and a call it a reward fun factor for most people that measures up to their expectations. And so that's why I want to start and make sure I fully understand, coming from my perspective of a retailer, are we creating good value for either newcomers or returning?
You can hear our complete interview with Mark Baker over the next few days in a three-part series of Special Report podcast on our website at www.aero-news.net. As Congress dithers about the federal budget and in anticipation of cuts to the FAA, stakeholders are again starting to talk about removing the U.S. air traffic control system from government control and moving it to private or semi-private management. More than 30 industrialized nations have privatized their air traffic control systems, according to a report in Bloomberg News, and such a move could shield the ongoing development and implementation of NextGen from political maneuvering. Elected officials from both parties have expressed concerns about the slow pace of the implementation of NextGen. Paul Rinaldi, president of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, said at a conference on NextGen in June that, quote, we should have this discussion. I don't have the answers, but I do know the current system is broken, end quote. NATCA has previously been strongly opposed to such a move. The FAA is again talking about furloughing employees as further budget cuts are considered for fiscal year 2014. FAA Administrator Michael Huerta has said that the furloughs will slow the progress of NextGen. In a move that would seem to be aimed directly at Boeing's plans for its 777X, Airbus has announced a new, lower-weight variant of its A330-300 wide-body aircraft that will be optimized for use on domestic and regional routes in high-growth markets with large populations and concentrated traffic flows. China will be one of the most important markets for this new version of today's world's most efficient and reliable wide-body aircraft, according to the plane maker. Compared to current A330-300 variants that are adapted to longer-range missions of up to 6,100 nautical miles, the new A330-300 regional and domestic variant will be optimized to seat up to around 400 passengers on missions of up to 3,000 nautical miles and offer significant cost savings through a reduced operational weight of around 200 metric tons. The reduction in fuel burn per seat and maintenance costs, thanks to these innovations, will result in an overall cost reduction of up to 15% compared to today's long-range A330-300. The Civil Aviation Authority of the UK has announced a review of offshore helicopter operations in the North Sea. The review will be undertaken jointly with the Norwegian CAA and the European Aviation Safety Agency, EASA, and advised by a panel of independent experts. It will study current operations, previous incidents and accidents, and offshore helicopter flying in other countries to make recommendations aimed at improving the safety of offshore flying. Although there has been considerable effort by regulators, operators, and the offshore industry to minimize the risk of North Sea helicopter operations, there have been 5 accidents in the past 4 years, 2 of which tragically resulted in fatalities. The findings of the review are due to be published in early 2014. The FAA is considering mandating the replacement of some older Honeywell PFD and MFD devices installed in Boeing 737 and 777 aircraft due to a potential interference problem with certified onboard Wi-Fi systems. The move comes as the agency is also considering relaxing rules that currently prohibit the use of electronic devices below 10,000 feet. The Wall Street Journal reports that the interference potential has been acknowledged by both Boeing and Honeywell following laboratory tests conducted in conjunction with Gogo, which manufactures onboard Wi-Fi systems. The interference, which can cause the displays to temporarily flicker or black out entirely, has not been reported on any actual flights, but has been replicated in tests. When Aero News continues, the benefits of going boldly where no one has gone before. ForeFlight meets iOS 7. And are you now free to talk about the cabin?
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, September the 26th. I'm Glenn Moyer. NASA and the International Space Exploration Coordination Group, or ISECG, released a white paper Friday outlining the benefits of human exploration of space. The document, titled Benefits Stemming from Space Exploration, is the culmination of a dialogue between space agencies participating in the ISECG. The goal was to share their views and lessons learned on the nature and significance of benefits resulting from space exploration. The paper outlines the collective benefits of space exploration, including expanding our scientific knowledge, inspiring people around the world, and forging agreements and cooperation between the countries engaged in the peaceful exploration of space. The paper stresses human exploration's effects on enhancing our quality of life by improving economic prosperity, health, environmental quality, safety, and security. The paper also highlights the equally important ability for exploration to provide a better understanding and new perspectives on our individual and collective place in the universe. The International Space Station is demonstrating many of these benefits today. The orbiting laboratory is the first step in the future exploration framework described in the Global Exploration Roadmap. If you've been concerned about how your ForeFlight app might respond to an upgrade to iOS 7, well, the folks at ForeFlight say they have seen good performance with the new operating system. So far, there have been no major issues with ForeFlight Mobile, and the company says it is quickly addressing anything that needs attention. However, if your iPad is a critical part of your flight deck, ForeFlight recommends that you wait until Apple pushes a couple of minor bug fixes updates to the new OS. Additionally, they strongly recommend waiting to fly with the new OS until you have a chance to familiarize yourself with the significant changes, such as the overhauled user interface and aesthetics, app switching, radio management, and force quit app functions, and make sure all apps operate as you expect. The Civil Aviation Authority of New Zealand, CAA, is not relaxing the existing rule about use of electronic devices while in flight, but will closely watch the expected announcement by the FAA later this week. There is industry speculation that the FAA may change restrictions that currently prevent passengers from using electronic devices such as e-readers and personal audio and video devices at certain times during flight. The CAA intends to maintain current safety standards. However, they will review any findings made by the FAA panel based on the information it receives. Passengers in New Zealand are currently able to use non-transmitting electronic devices at specified times during flight. This is often referred to as putting the device in flight mode or airplane mode. The CAA is in frequent contact with the FAA and other international aviation regulators and will look at how any recommendations they make might be further explored for New Zealand applications. The penalty for operating a portable electronic device on board an aircraft in New Zealand in breach of the rules is a fine upon conviction of up to $2,500. By the way, it is not expected that the FAA will make any changes to the current ban on making phone calls, sending and receiving text messages, or using Wi-Fi. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks as always for listening, and you're now cleared for departure.